Blog Talk Radio.
To God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, our sweet hour of prayer. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m., our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. And at 7 p.m., our very own Lady Nadine has come with our Bible study this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call in at 7 p.m. at 319-527-6204. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of the service. Amen. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Fridays, and all you have to do is call in your prayer request at this time. In the meantime, I will play another selection. To God be the glory. So right now, we're going to open up our hearts and let Jesus come in. Praise God.
To let you know that it starts with you, because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life when you don't know what to do. It seems like everything make it through.
Open up your heart and let Jesus come in.
Praise be to God. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and this is our sweet hour of prayer where we pray for you, with you, and right along beside you every Tuesday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. So if you have a prayer request that you would like to pray for a friend or family member or whoever God puts on your heart to pray for, we are here to pray for you. Amen. This is why we are here every day, to pray for one another. Praise God. Again, at this time, I will play another selection on to the next level. Praise be to God.
Until the next level, our God is always in control. No matter what you're going through, He's taking you. Yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, works, and families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. May you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who mourn, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m., and all you have to do is call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God.
Letting go of all my fears, saying
Amen. Praise be to God. I got joy. Okay, it is now time for our devotional, our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Praise God. Which is entitled, thank you, Jesus, Got Your Nose. And our scripture reading is coming from Exodus chapter 12. And we are going to read verses 12 through 19. Amen. So that's Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, on that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. Judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast. Amen? On the first day of the festival, remove every trace of yeast from your homes. Anyone who eats bread made with yeast during the 7 days of the festival will be cut off community of Israel. On the first day of the festival, and again on the seventh day, all the people must observe an official day for holy assembly. No work of any kind may be done on these days except in the preparation of food. Celebrate this festival of unleavened bread, for it will remind you that I brought your forces out of the land of Egypt on this very day. This festival will be a permanent law for you. Celebrate this day from generation to generation. The bread you eat must be made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day of the first month until the evening of the 20th day, the 21st day of that month. During those 7 days, there must be no trace of yeast in your home. Anyone who eats anything made with yeast during this week will be cut off from the community of Israel. These regulations apply both to the foreigners living among you and to the native-born Israelites. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. The text for this message is coming from Exodus 12 and 12, where it says, I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. The writer says, again, this message is entitled, Got Your Nose. Why are the statues' noses broken? That's the number one question visitors ask Edward a blind bird, curator of Egypt, the Egyptian art at the Brooklyn Museum. Blandberg can't blame it on normal wear and tear. Even two-dimensional painted figures are missing noses. He surmises that such destruction must have been international. Enemies meant to kill Egyptian gods. It's as if they were playing a game of got your nose with them. Invading armies broke off the noses of these idols so they could not breathe. Really, that's all it took? With gods like these, Pharaoh should have known he was in trouble. Yes, he had an army and the allegiance of a whole nation. The Hebrews were weary slaves led by a timid fugitive named Moses. But Israel had the living God, and Pharaoh's gods were pretenders. 10 plagues later, their imaginary lives were snuffed out. Israel celebrated their victory with the festival of unleavened bread. When they ate bread without yeast for a week in Exodus 12 and 17, 13 through 7, 9, yeast symbolizes sin. And God wanted his people to remember their rescue lives belong entirely to him. Our Father says to idols, got your nose, and to his children, got your life. Serve the God who gives you breath and rest in his loving arms. Amen. Praise be to God. Question, what false God is suffocating your life? And how might you show God you're trusting only in him? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father of life, we give you our life. Help us recognize that any perceived enemies in our life are nothing compared to your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. And at this time, I will play another selection. shadow me.
Should be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good. Y'all raise it with it. In a motion.
Amen. Dear Lord, your love is eternal and your laws are everlasting. When I obey your commandments, I am blessed. Today, I invite you to reside over every corner of my heart. I will have faith in you, Father. I will sense your presence. I will accept your love. I will trust your will. And I will praise you for the Savior of my life. Your son, in praise, pray, I pray in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. In Luke 9:23-24, in the New King James Version, says, he said to them all, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, will save it. And that is our scripture reading for this evening. Again, thank you for showing up on Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer. God bless you, and I pray that you have a wonderful evening. And now we're going to get ready to go into our lesson for this, our Bible study for this evening, coming from our very own Lady Nadine, who's going to come with our lesson today and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Amen. Also, I'd like to acknowledge my co-host online, Sister Barbara. God bless you. How are you this evening?
Thank you. God bless you all. I'm blessed and highly favored. How you all feeling?
Blessed, thank you. It's a beautiful
day. Great. Hi, Sister Barbara.
How you doing?
Thank you.
Okay. Mother is not with us this evening, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. They come on later.
Amen.
Okay, so we are continuing in Hosea. Well, let's open in prayer. Father, now, God, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We magnify your holy name, God, because you are worthy of all the praise and all the glory, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this holy week, Lord God, this holy week where you died on the cross for us, Lord God, and you were tortured for us, Lord God. And Lord God, we cannot thank you enough, Lord God, for saving us, Lord God, from our sins, Lord God, showing us to be righteous, Lord God, with your blood, Lord God. And you rose again on the third day, Lord God. And because of you, Lord God, we are saved. Because of you, Lord God, we have eternal life. Because of you, Lord God, we can never be dead, Lord God. We will live forever with you, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God. And while we're here on this earth, Lord God, thank you for allowing us to learn more about you, Lord God. Study your word to get closer to you, Lord God, until that day comes when we're with you, Lord God. And, Lord God, we just ask you to be in the midst of this Bible study, Lord God, so that whatever comes out of my mouth, Lord God, is clear and concise, Lord God. Open up the hearts and the ears and the minds, Lord God, of everyone who is listening, Lord God, so that what it is that you want us to do in our lives, how you want us to apply you know, the lesson to our everyday lives, Lord God, to please you, Lord God, is all we want to do. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. So, so what did you think about the scripture readings in Hosea?
Wow.
There was one verse that really stood out to me. I said, you know what? Because as we, you know, as we look through the Bible, and as Pastor has said, you know, as we read through the Bible, you know, from beginning to the end, you know, we'll always see Christ in there. We'll always see Christ in there. And when I read chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it just, it just touched my soul. Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, who said, come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He'll revive us after 2 days, and he will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. I was like, praise be to God.
Yeah.
I love that. I loved it. You know, and I also thought that it was so, you know, at this point, you know, God is really, really chastising Ephraim, you know, which, and so who is Ephraim? What's Ephraim? Guys, what's Ephraim?
Ephraim is another tribe, and it's also another country.
Right. So Ephraim is one of the tribes in the north, right? And who was Ephraim's ancestor?
Who was the progenitor?
Huh?
Jacob.
Who does Ephraim? No, Ephraim is not of Jacob. Remember, who is Ephraim of?
They all came from Jacob.
Well, Ephraim, yeah. I mean, but what I'm looking for is that Ephraim, Hilda, who's Ephraim?
Oh, Joseph.
Right.
Ephraim was one of the sons of Joseph.
So yeah, Jacob is their grandfather, and you're right. It all comes from Jacob. But more specifically, you know, Ephraim is his grandson, right, from Joseph. So and
right.
That's the tribe of Ephraim that comes through the line of Joseph, but. Yeah, Jacob. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And it just seems that, you know, reading Hosea is like they're specifically dealing with that part of northern Israel, which is the tribe of Ephraim, which is the, you know, because they all had their own land. And, you know, but they go back and forth. Hosea goes back and forth with Ephraim and Judah because, you know, Judah had their horrific kings too. But yeah.
Hi, James.
Hello.
Hey, Brother James. We were just talking about. We're just talking about what we read with Hosea. Anybody else have any thoughts about the reading?
You said that Hosea goes back with Judah, but it's Israel. Talked about that last week.
No. What I'm saying is that in the reading of Hosea, where Hosea is prophesizing, he's specifically prophesizing to Ephraim and Judah.
Right, that's an Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, Judah's not in Israel.
Judah is in Israel. Yeah.
Right. Judah is the southern part. So he's prophesizing, because both of them were doing evil, right? So he's talking to Ephraim in Israel, in the north in Israel, and he's also giving a message to Judah, which is in the southern part.
Mm-hmm. But I think I disagree with you. I think that when he was talking about marry a prostitute, he was comparing it more to Israel more so than Judah.
Well, I'm just talking about verse. I'm looking at scripture 6, verse 6. He talks about, he says, let the spring rain watering the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? And what shall I do with you, O Judah? I mean, he's talking to both Ephraim and Judah. For your loyalty is like a morning cloud and like a dew which goes away early. Therefore, I have, he specifically speaks about,
Yeah, he
Judah
mentioned
and,
them, but again, it was more about Israel rather than Judah, is my understanding.
Okay. All right, anybody else have any other comments about the reading?
Well, I was a bit thinking about chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. You were saying that Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They will bear no fruit. Even though they bear children, I will slay the precious ones of their womb. My God will cast them away because they have not listened to him, and they will be wanderers among the nations. Can you explain that to me?
Which verses again?
16 and 17. Chapter 9.
Okay. So it says Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They will bear no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they bear children, I will slay the precious ones in their womb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. So let's go to the commentary. So what the commentary says is that though, and it's, the commentary is referring to chapter 9, verses 10 through 17, and it says, though at the beginning of the nation, God found his people to be like refreshing grapes in the wilderness, that's what we found in verse 10, they turned to immorality at Baal Peor and deflected at Gilgal, where they proclaimed Saul king. This combination of Baal worship and the desire for human kings instead of God destined the people to become wanderers among nations. And that's verse 17. So I think from what I get from it is that God is just saying, as a group of people, what we get when we are connected to God, you know, our, you know, when you make the correlation between the vine, right, being connected to the vine and being connected to God, that we live and we thrive and we can make and we can bear fruit, right, as without connection to God. But once we're no longer connected to God, and these people are no longer connected to God, you know, they turn from God. So everything that they do, they're like dried up, you know, they're dried up. And they will bear no fruits because they're not connected to God. And and even though, like he says, you know, you'll bear children, and I will slay the precious ones of their womb. You know, precious ones. I will slay the precious ones of their womb. So it's like they will never, they could, and my God will cast them away because they have not listened to him, and they will, and they will be wandering among nations. So it's, you know, it's just that, you know, they decided to, you know, to disconnect themselves from God. So they have no, you know, God is just, you know, they're like dried up leaves. I mean, that's the only
You know, are they like the fig tree? When he dried up the if they're dried up and they can't bear no more children, are they like the fig tree when the fig tree wasn't bearing any fruit, and when Jesus touched it and it died? Is that's
okay. I mean, that, let me see what other reference it gives for this one. 16, it says Hosea 5 and 11.
Okay, so they was determined to follow man. 5 and 11.
Right. So it's all referencing to the fact that they chose not to follow God and to follow man. And also it references Hosea 8 and 7, which says, "For they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heed. It yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers will swallow it up." So if it does yield anything, it's going to get swallowed up. Israel is swallowed up. They are now among the nations like a vessel in which no one delights in.
Okay.
So, but Sister Barbara?
Yeah.
Could you read 16 in the Message Bible and see how it's worded there? Please.
9:16.
9:16 and 17, or however it's set up in the Message.
9:16. Okay. It goes from 9:15. All their evil came out into the open, as the pagan shrine of Gilgal. Oh, how I hated them there, because of their evil practices. I'll kick them off my land. I'm wasting no more love on them. Their leaders are a bunch of rebellious adolescents. Ephraim is hit hard, roots withered, no more fruit. Even if by some miracle they had children, the dear babies wouldn't live. I'd make sure of that. My God has washed his hands of them. They wouldn't listen. They're doomed to be wanderers, vagabonds among the godless nations. Amen.
Does that make that clearer for you, Hilda?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Hi, so Apostle Mother Wiggin.
It says, how are you?
Hey, Mother.
Thank you.
Good.
It says in 16 that the roots are withered, no more fruit. So I would assume that applies to the fig tree also.
Yes.
Anything, not just a fig tree, any kind of growth, because they are so evil.
Right.
and right. He's obedient.
So, right. So there'll be no growth. And like what the message says, even though you will bear children, they'll die.
Yes.
You know, they will die. And we know that actually did happen because of starvation. Remember?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And how the children died, and also the children's sacrifices that
right.
the Baal worshippers were doing. You
right.
know, they were sacrificing the children.
Yeah.
And some of the women, you know, at some point they were actually eating them. So what God had said would happen, you know, mm-hmm. actually did happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, Mother.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. We're just going over what we read. If there's anything that particularly stands out for you in Hosea, we're just going over certain parts.
I wouldn't remember right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
okay.
What you were talking about how they was it was eating the children like that. Wow.
yeah. It did, and God had warned them that if they disobeyed him, they would, you know, they won't have food.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have anything, so they were eating the children.
They had
but that was Hilda made reference to. Yeah, Hilda was asked about Hosea 9, and those were verses 16 and 17, which we were just,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking at more deeply at those verses.
Right.
Brother Jay?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you okay?
Anything about what you read is that you wanted to talk about anything?
No, I'm really sorry. I just got swamped and I didn't really study as well as I should have for today. But I just wanted to listen to what everybody else was saying so I could glean from that.
Yeah. I hear that gleaming. Praise God. All right. Well, we're going to move on in the rest of our lesson. We're going to read about, I'm going to go through Christ in Hosea. So, and Matthew 2 and 15 applies chapter 11, verse 1. So, could somebody get Matthew 2 and 15? And then somebody else get Hosea 11 and 1.
Hmm. Who has
Matthew? Who has 2 and 15?
Nobody?
I have 11 and 1.
Okay, somebody read Matthew 2 and 15, please.
Okay. Let me. One second. 2 and 15 says, He remained it there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. Amen.
So do you know what that's in reference to? What is that verse referring to?
Well, where baby Jesus, where Jesus Christ's family had to flee evil King Herod. They fled to Egypt
mm-hmm.
until Herod died.
Right. Absolutely. And then when you read verses, so that's the fulfillment. But Mother, when you read verse 11 and 1.
11 and 1.
Hosea 11 and 1.
When Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. Amen.
right. Amen. So it says Matthew 2:15 applies, actually applies chapter 11, verse 1, to Christ in Egypt, where mm-hmm. it says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Matthew quotes the second half of this verse to show that the exodus of Israel from Egypt as a new nation was a prophetic type of Israel's Messiah, who was also pulled out of Egypt in his childhood. Both mm-hmm. Israel and Christ left Palestine to take refuge, left Palestine to take refuge in Egypt. How did Israel take refuge in Egypt? Go back into your head. We know how Christ left to go back to Egypt, right? Because Brother Jake just told us why, how Christ went to find refuge in Egypt. How did Israel find refuge in Egypt?
Well, during the Great Famine, Jacob Joseph, mm-hmm. when Joseph mm-hmm. became powerful in Egypt and then got back together with his family, and then he said, well, we have plenty of land here. Why don't you just move in?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a new Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph, and then trouble started.
Right. You're exactly right.
And
so
then
Israel
coming out of Egypt, that time Israel coming out of Egypt was after the Passover of the angel of death.
Mm-hmm.
And they all fled Egypt.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Christ came out of Egypt after the death of the angel of death, because Herod was killing people. Herod was killing firstborn also, right? So
that's right.
That's
yeah.
the correlation. So both Israel and Christ left Palestine to take refuge in Egypt. And, you know, like Brother Jake said, Israel went to Egypt because of the famine. They took refuge there. And Jesus left Palestinians to take refuge in Egypt after King Herod wanted to kill him. So Christ's identification with our plight and his loving work of redemption can be seen in Hosea's redemption of Gomer from the slave market. Right? So he redeemed her from the slave market, which is the identification of Christ's redemption from us, for us freeing us from the slavery of law, and freeing us in the love of Christ, right? Freeing us from the law. So that's where we see Christ and Hosea. Does everybody see that? Is that correlation clear? Israel and Christ. Refuge to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my! Yeah. I have to take this phone call. I'll try and come back as soon as I can.
Okay. That's okay.
Okay.
I just like to read something if I can.
Yes.
Hello. Googled Ephraim, and it says, "What does Ephraim mean?"
Where did you Google?
In the Bible? Ephraim.
Oh, Ephraim. Okay.
The book of Genesis related the name Ephraim to a Hebrew word for being fruitful, referring to Joseph's ability to produce children, specifically while in Egypt, termed by the Torah as the land of his affliction. In classical rabbinical sources, Ephraim is described as being modest and not selfish. And that gets back to chapter 9, where we were reading that Ephraim is hit hard, roots withered, no more fruit. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
When they were mm-hmm. considered fruitful, they have now dried up. So no more children. Mm-hmm. And the babies
right.
that they did have wouldn't make it. I just mm-hmm. thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. The comparison of the fruit.
Right, yes.
They were considered
absolutely.
Fruitful, and now they dried up. Israel.
Now they dried up. That's it.
Yeah.
They were fruitful. And that's what, and that's, you know, when starting from verse 10, it starts off that way too, where says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness.
Right.
I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruits of the fig trees in the first season. So, you know, they did start off that way. They were just like
multiplying, like it says, Joseph was the father, the progenitor,
mm-hmm.
and he had 12 sons. So,
yeah, they absolutely did start off very fruitful when they left the wilderness.
Not 12 sons, sorry, not Joseph.
Right, when they left the wilderness and they finally, not that generation, the new generation. Moved into, you know, the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were worshiping, they were following, you know, they were loving on God, you know, but as the generations after generation after generation, they came to the point where they forgot God was, you know, altogether. So, yeah, that was thanks, Sister Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the contributions to the Bible. Hosea is the first of 12 minor prophets, perhaps because of its size. The New Testament quotes or alludes to its vivid statements several times. So chapter 1 and 10 says, I'll read that. So Hosea 1 and 10 says, the number of the children of Israel will be like the sand of the sea that cannot be measured or counted. And in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people, it will be said to them, children of the living God. So that's Hosea 1 and 2. So then somebody please get like Romans 9, 25-27. And you can get that, Mother, and Hilda, get 2 Corinthians 6:18, and Sister Barbara, if you can get Romans 9, Peter, 1 Peter 2:10.
Okay.
The one that I just read, Romans, the verses that you're going to read relates to the verses that I just read so these are comparing Hosea's verses actually to the New Testament verses. Of Hosea. So the first one is comparing Romans 9, 25-27 and 2 Corinthians 6:18 to Hosea 1 and 10. So I'll read Hosea 1 and 10 again, where it says, the number of the children of Israel will be like the sand of the sea that cannot be measured or counted. And in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people, it will be said to them, children of the living God. So now, Romans 9.
So you want 9, 25-27?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
concerning the Gentiles, God says in the prophecy of Hosea, those who are not my people, I will now call my people, and I will love those whom I did not love before. And then after the place where they were told they are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. And concerning Israel, Isaiah the prophet cried out, though the people of Israel are as numerous as the sand of the seashore, only a remnant will be saved. Amen.
Amen. And Hilda, 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians 6 and 18 says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Amen.
Yeah. That's how that relates to Hosea. And now I'm going to read Hosea 2 and 23, and Sister Barbara is going to read after that 1 Peter. So 2 and 23 says, I will sow her for myself in the land. I will have pity on Lo Ruhama. I will say to Lo Amami, you are my people. And he himself will say, you are my God. You know, Lo Ruhama and Lo Amimi are, who's that? Who are they?
The daughters of Gomer and Hosea.
Right.
The daughter's
Thank you.
Son.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter's son.
Right. Thank you. Okay, so now.
First Peter.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this goes 9 through 10. It says, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. God's word is already blessed. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. So now
and
the
I
next
think,
one is
I think the King James says you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood.
Yes. Let's see.
Yeah, I love the way that says in the King James.
Yeah, let me get that from the King James.
2 Kings 9. I'm sorry. 1 Peter.
Matthew.
Matthew. You are royal people, a chosen generation.
Uh-huh. That's it. Are you reading it? You got
no.
You got the King James Version?
Remember right
there. Oh, okay. I'm looking for it now.
Okay.
The King James brother.
I could have got mine. I don't.
Oh. All right. Oh. Here it is. No. What is this? Oh, 1 Peter 2.
1 Peter 9,
2. No, 1 Peter 2 and 10. I have which in time past. No, that's not the one. Yeah, that's not the chosen.
Got it.
It says, yeah, 1 Peter 2 and 10 is, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people.
Got it. Got it. 9. 2 and
9. Oh, at 9. Okay. Oh, yeah. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. which in the past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beautiful. That's so
thank
beautiful.
You.
Love it.
And it's interesting
yes.
to note that in all of the verses that we read, it says that you were nobodies and now you're somebody. You know,
mm-hmm.
every verse
yes.
that was read basically said that.
Right. You were nobody and now
if
you're somebody.
If you come back to me. If you come, if you come back
somebody.
To me, otherwise he shall remain a nobody.
Exactly. But I can proclaim I am somebody. Hallelujah. I am somebody. So, and then we go on. Mother, can you get Matthew 9:9-13? And Hilda, please get Matthew 12:7. And I'm going to read Hosea 6:6. So these verses should reflect Hosea 6:6. So Hosea 6:6 says, because I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And I just read that in this other, yeah, I love that too. where there's another version of that that I really love. Six. Yes, chapter 6:6. Mm-hmm. Which also in this version it says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offering." Right. So, and then yeah. So Matthew 13, Mother, please.
You said 9:9-13, right?
9:13, yes.
Okay, 9:13. This is Jesus speaking. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And Hilda, you got 12 and 7?
Okay, this is Jesus speaking. And he says, but if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Amen.
So what does that mean? I prefer mercy and not sacrifice. What exactly does that mean?
What does that exactly mean? I desire
what's exactly mercy. What was the purpose of sacrifice? What was the purpose of sacrifice?
There was
oh, that was under the law?
Yeah, under the law. What was sacrifice?
The atonement of their sins to show contrition for having sinned.
Right. So when Jesus says, I think I'm going to read another version of it. Because,
yeah, I want to read mine when you finish.
No, go ahead. Read your version of it.
Okay. Mine goes from 6-8. It says, there was far more at stake here than religion. If you had any idea what this scripture meant, I prefer a flexible heart to an inflexible ritual. You wouldn't be nitpicking like this. The Son of Man is no lackey to the Sabbath. He's in charge. So to me, that means he prefers a flexible heart as opposed to a ritual that you are so stiff by tradition that you can't change. So your heart needs to be flexible to accept the things that come about, to open your heart to what's going on, because things do change. Amen?
Right. Amen. And I see it as he's telling them, because these were the very, 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 very stiff Pharisees, right? So basically, it's just like, I prefer you to be obedient. It's really saying, open your heart to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to be obedient than to have to ask for, you know, I mean, we do, God does forgive us for our sins. But it's better to want to please God first, then afterwards have to come and say, God, forgive me for what I've done. So they would go ahead, because this is what these Pharisees would do, right? They would kill, they would slaughter, and then they would come and offer a burnt offering, right? They would offer, they would come with the burnt offering.
Mm-hmm. And they would have the nerve to say that, gone, I'll come when you finish.
Go ahead.
No, go on.
No, and then, you know, they'll go ahead on about their business and figure, well, you know, that's is it. And I equate that to us, where we turn around and do something really bad to somebody, you know, and then turn around and say, God forgive me, or God knows my heart. But what Jesus is telling us right now, it's better for you to basically have an open heart. Love the Lord their God with all your heart and your soul. Love mm-hmm. your enemies. The things that Jesus had told us to do, it's better to do that or than to turn around and do whatever you want to do and then come and give some burnt offering or Lord forgive me. Do you guys see that?
I think too. That when they do the sacrifice and everything, they don't really mean it, because they go back and do the same thing again. They're not trying
Absolutely.
To change.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're just following a ritual.
They're just doing a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So Jesus can detect it. God can detect when you're just doing a ritual and you really don't mean it when you repent. You're not trying to change. And like you said, you're not trying to please God. You're
mm-hmm.
just pleasing yourself, really.
Exactly. And if I can add, the topic of this was in charge of the Sabbath. We know that Jesus did a lot of things on the Sabbath that the Pharisees looked at him and found, you know, why are you
mm-hmm.
doing that? Why are you healing this woman? This is the Sabbath. You can't do that. So he
right.
is letting them know that I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I can do what I need to do. You're concerned about traditions, and you want to look nice on the outside, but as they say in one of the scriptures, inside your cup is like filthy, you know, it's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing things for a show, but inside
right.
you're not doing it right. So it needs to come from your heart, and the Sabbath
yes.
is one thing. But I am Lord of the Sabbath. So I do what must
right.
be done on any day, even the Sabbath.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
And it says, let me just add the first part. It says, where is that? The Son of Man is no lackey. Yeah, I'm no servant. I'm no whatever to the Sabbath. He's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We know. He's no the Sabbath. I'm in charge.
Right. And so it's all about when, you know, doing good no matter what day of the week. You know,
mm-hmm.
they were like, it's the Sabbath. We can't do nothing.
Right.
But God, Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. I mean, he was healing on this day. And how dare you look down on it? You know.
Amen. And he even said,
yeah.
if your donkey fell into a ditch on a Sabbath, you mean you wouldn't take him out because it's a Sabbath?
Right, right.
Come on.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. It's just so interesting because, like, you know, at Mount Sinai Hospital, because they have a huge Jewish population. I guess Mount Sinai is basically, you know, a Jewish hospital. Not hospital, but, you know, they have a large Jewish population. So the name of it tells you, Mount Sinai, right? But, you know, they have the elevators set up so that they don't have to press, you know, because they don't have to press the floors. They can just talk and say what they want to go to. But I remember some years ago, and it happened in Brooklyn, and apparently it was in one of those, Hasidic neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And it just happened to be one of the kids had turned on this woman's radio or whatever and was blasting hip-hop. It was a hip-hop channel, and the little kid was blasting the music, but the mother couldn't turn it off.
Oh, no.
She couldn't turn, you know, because they can't touch any type of electric. And the story went that there was just happened to be this black kid who was walking down the block and heard it. And she called him, you know, from out the window. Mm-hmm. And he went into that. It was all in the news. I'm like, you know, this is like they were talking about how communities work together and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she called the kid from the window, and the kid came into the house and turned off the radio for her.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That is their tradition. They cannot touch anything. No electrical, exactly. Nothing on the Sabbath. So, yeah. Okay, so the next comparison is, Hilda, if you could take Luke 23:30 and Mother Revelation 6 and 16, and I'm going to read the Hosea, which is 10 and 8, and it says, the high places of Aven, the sin of Israel, will be destroyed. Thorn and thistle will grow on their altar. They will say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. Okay.
Okay.
So Luke.
Luke 23 and 30 says, this is Jesus talking. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and the hills, cover us. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And Mother, Revelation?
Revelation 6:16. And they cried to the mountain and the rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Amen.
Mm. Yeah. For all those who decide not to follow the Lord. Okay. And the next one, Sister Barbara, could you find Matthew 2:14-15? And I will read Hosea 11:1. And Hosea 11:1 says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. So this is, yeah, this is the same one. Yeah. Matthew 2:14-15.
Read that one. Okay, mine goes from 13-15. And here's a second offense. You fill the place of worship with your whining and sniveling because you don't get what you want from God. Do you know why? Simple. Because God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. And now you've broken those vows, broken the faith bond with your vow companion, your covenant wife. Mm-hmm. Not you made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And what does he want from marriage? Children of God. That's what. So God, the spirit of marriage within you. Don't cheat on your spouse. Amen.
Amen. So there are...
Wait a minute. Ooh.
That was Malachi.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's what I was saying. I was not quite sure. You know, because the Message Bible, sometimes, you know, they're like, okay, so I'm...
Two and fifteen.
Golly. Did you say something about out of Egypt?
Okay, here it is. Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way to life. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. The Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea had preached. I called my son out of Egypt. Amen. That was 2:14 and 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So he goes on to say there are different views concerning Hosea's marriage to Gomer. Some see it as a fictional allegory of God and Israel, but there is little basis for this position. Chapters 1 through 3 are presented as a straightforward narrative, and there are no indications that it is fictitious. Although Hosea was told to take a wife, this does not necessarily mean that This does not necessarily mean that Gomer was a harlot before her marriage to Hosea. Mm-hmm. This passage may be looking ahead to what she would become. So I guess what does that mean to you? That I'm saying it says here, this does not necessarily mean that Gomer was a harlot before her marriage to Hosea. This passage may be looking ahead to what she would become, meaning the passage in 1 and 2, which says...
Does that mean she came after, she became one after she married him?
Yeah.
Wasn't she a prostitute before?
Well, it says at the beginning when Yahweh spoke through Hosea, Yahweh said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife and children of whoredom, because the land commits great whoredom. So I don't know. I had that impression too, Mother, but I don't know. I mean, would she be a... What is a harlotry?
Is that the same thing as adultery?
What is harlotry?
She's referred to as a whore. So one who is promiscuous. That's the way they looked at Israel. Israel began to be evil, the evil kings that reigned, and they were accepting other gods of strange women. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So they got and only true and God. So that's why I keep saying more about Israel than Judah, because that was Judah got taken away too, but like what 100 and something years later. But at first,
right,
he said somehow
50 years.
Somehow Hosea.
And 36 years later, Judah was taken away, but Judah was whoring the whole time too.
Somehow Hosea had no shame admitting to the world that he loved his wife passionately, and that it crushed his heart when she went back to prostitution, when she was broke and hungry and had to sell herself as a slave. He brought her back. In a nation driven by image and success, he agreed to a calling of public humiliation.
So
right.
They're saying that she was a prostitute before and he married her anyway, and she went back to that and was selling herself on the slave block, I'll say, and he was able to buy her back.
Mm-hmm.
Again, referring to Israel, that, you know, they were just disobedient and falling to apostasy, turning away from God.
Right. But they were referring to Israel, but they also was referring to Judah, because the only difference, Judah also had the same type they were actually whoring too. I mean, and this is why Judah is mentioned in chapter 6 and some of the other chapters, because Judah was not
innocent.
They happened to have some good ones, but they were so boring.
Well, don't forget, it was all Israel. That was Judah and Israel were all one country at one time. And then when they split up with the 10 kings in the north and the two in the south of Judah, so
absolutely.
They were one
absolutely.
At one time.
Absolutely. But by this time, by the time Hosea was prophesizing, there were two kingdoms.
Right.
There were two kingdoms. So
Ephraim is in the north. Ephraim is the northern.
And Judah.
But Judah didn't turn their back on God, right? And that's why that was the reason.
Who?
Judah.
Who didn't turn their back on God?
Judah.
Yes, it did.
You know, like,
yes, they did. They do turn
right
their
away.
Back on God,
not like
too.
Israel. Yeah, not like
Hello.
Turn their back on God.
Later.
Judah had,
or later on.
And it's not even later. It's in between. They had eight kings in between. But it wasn't a consistency of good kings. They had 8 out of 12. But remember, even if you go from Hezekiah, between Hezekiah and Josiah, those two, Manasseh and his son Amon, I would think they were the worst. Because you know what made them worse? Is that they literally put up these children's sacrifices in the temple, inside God's temple. They put their worshiping, they put their idols, they put their golden things
in
the temple of God.
What better place than the temple? That was their religion, child sacrifice.
You know, but that's what I'm just saying. They had the least, because you know, in the north, they had Samaria, so they really didn't. They didn't have in the north in Israel. They didn't have Jerusalem. Was in the south, so Jerusalem is where the actual temple was, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have these horrific kings in the south also, you know. But because God was merciful, because every so often a good one would pop up, you know, is why they didn't. You know, he didn't. But he even after Josiah became king, who was excellent. You know, remember Josiah was the one who found the scroll because the temple was torn down and he wanted to rebuild it, and he found the scroll. And Josiah did a big turnaround. He rid the whole country of all the idols that his father and his grandfather had put up. The people were flourishing. The people were they were being very prosperous during that time of Hosea, because they were following him and they were doing Passover again. He had offered all that back to them. But God said to them through the prophet, let me tell you, it was the prophet named Hilda.
Hilda.
Right. Through the prophet Hilda, she told them that, I don't care what y'all doing, God is still going to destroy you, because he knows that your love is only temporary.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's just temporary, because you're going to fly off with any of the next kings who decide to be, you know,
And so it's like you just you know, that they would just fly by night. They would follow the king. So the question was, should the people who are following their king, should they be punished? They're following the king, should they be punished? What do you think?
Well, the thought was that no, they shouldn't, but I know they so Huldah prophesied to Josiah that the Lord said he would not live to see the destruction. So he lived about 3 years later, and he was killed in battle. So he didn't get to see the destruction of Judah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I don't know what was worse, die ahead or to, you know, see the destruction. Either way, he was out of there.
I feel because the destruction, the starvation, people eating their children, I think that's a little bit worse than dying
but
in battle.
But he was killed in battle now. He was killed in battle.
Huh?
He was killed in battle.
That was great. That was probably a one-shot
like
arrow to his heart. That was one-shot arrow to his heart.
He didn't get to see
but
the destruction.
But to sit there and, to sit there and suffer through hunger, people just, you know, eating their children and babies and, you know, I'm like, thank you, Lord. That's like taking me out. Take me out. Before
too
things
much,
get,
right?
You know.
Too much. Every time I hear that, it reminds me of the good earth, you know.
Oh, yeah, I remember you said that.
Did you ever see that picture?
No.
Yeah, I don't remember it like that.
You don't remember what?
I remember the author.
I think I saw the picture a couple of times. They used to have it on a lot.
Where she sacrificed herself or something like that? The mother?
Well, what it, really what it was is that her husband, her husband got rich because she had found this jewel in the ground. You know what I mean? She gave it to her husband, and they became very well off. But the thing was, he went and set up another a prostitute or whatever. Set her off in a house apart from them. And he was, his money and stuff was going over there, and they were starting to starve.
Wow.
It was starting to starve. So his wife got pregnant. She had to turn around and eat the baby. She was starving. While the other woman was, he set the other woman up in a, you know, fine home and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But his son grew up, and his son was trying to go with the woman. He would go and visit the young woman. She was a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he set her up in a beautiful house, you know, apart from his wife. And, you know, but she ate the baby. Because because she didn't have nothing to eat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They'd been giving her husband this jewel. I don't know, that picture was on for about 3 or 4 hours, something like that. It was a long
yeah, it was a long movie. I know it was a long movie too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's true.
Well, of course it's not on
all
the
right,
same
guys.
Order, but every time you talk about it, I think about it. You know. But you know,
you
tell them, unless you read the Bible, you seldom hear of people eating their babies and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, guys. It's 8:07. This concludes this part of our lesson, and then when we come back, we'll finish up. Looks like we can finish up Hosea when we come back, and then we'll be moving on to Joel.
So we have 4 more chapters in Hosea, so we should get that done by the time.
Together, God willing.
Amen.
Okay.
Good.
Beautiful lesson.
Yes. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Mother, could you pray us out, Mother, please?
Amen. Praise God. Father God, we just thank you for this wonderful, wonderful lesson that we had today. Father God, giving us a picture of Christ being called out of Egypt, you know, with the and comparing it with Hosea. We thank you for our Lady Nadine, Father God, who brings us such beautiful lessons, Father God, and we thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit through her, Father God, to open our eyes to the scriptures, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Father God, I also want to mention about the prophecy through Hosea about the Gentiles, where God said that the Gentiles was his people. You know, like it was like the beginning of the Gentile nation, where God was looking to the Gentiles, where this was like a closing of the law and an opening of grace under grace, where it was like a picture, and God spoke to Hosea and was telling him about how a remnant of the Jews would be saved in that same chapter as I was reading down. I thought that was very, very interesting. So, Father God, we thank you for these wonderful lessons, Father God, to open our eyes, Father God, and to also to remind us, because a lot of times when we read the scripture, sometimes we forget these things. And to bring these things back to our remembrance, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Maybe it's inside of us, but sometimes we don't realize that it's there in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And we're looking forward to whatever else that you have to open us, open our eyes to the inspired word, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for the participation of Evangelist Hilder and Sister Barbara, and also I can't remember his name. We thank you for their participation, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mother. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, guys. I love you.
Love you too. Love you all.
Okay. Tomorrow. I won't forget.
Okay, God bless.
I won't forget.
Shalom.
Shalom, everybody.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Okay, good night.
Good night, Mother.
All right.
Love you. And
love
on
you
that
too.
Note, we're going to open up heaven's doors. As soon as I find it. Heaven's doors, where are you? There you go. Praise the Lord.
my sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.